According to the BBC, a review of veterinary services in the UK has been launched over concerns that us pet owners could be paying too much. And this article is first-hand experience because, yes, veterinary services are very, very expensive at the moment. My name is Sam and we own independent pet shops in the northeast of England, focusing on nutrition. The BBC article claims that the vet industry is worth around £2 billion. And so the BBC article claims that the Competition and Markets Authority said vet fees were rising faster than any other goods and services during the cost of living crisis. Now, pet owners, according to the article, often did not know the price of the treatments until after their appointment, because obviously until you go, you don't really know what you are going to be given. So that's somewhat understandable. However, leading them to quote unquote eye-watering bills, consumer group which found during its work with the CMA. And I am going to give you a bit of an insight into the pet food industry and the veterinary industry and how it works and why the prices are not really going to come down. There's a few things you need to understand about how veterinary services work in the UK and worldwide, really. It's a pretty consolidated industry. Consolidation means that a few players own the vast amounts of the market, the whole amount of the market. Just like if you are watching from the UK, Sainsbury's, Tesco's, Morrison's, and a couple more supermarkets form the cartel of supermarkets. So they are not really going to drop prices unless they are forced to do so. Just like petrol prices, for example, they all have this oligopoly and it's very, very hard for someone to break through and to offer more competitive prices. And the ones who do offer competitive prices and more challenging prices to the status quo, like Aldi or Lidl, for example, in the UK, end up snatching away a lot of the market. Unfortunately, for veterinary services in the UK and vets in the UK, most of them are owned by just a handful of companies. For example, Vets for Pets is owned by Pets at Home, and that is a public traded company. It's Pets at Home PLC. Now, there's a couple of things I want to share with you that will hopefully give you clarity, because we specialize in dog nutrition and cat nutrition, and there's a couple of things that I want to give you in order for you to save money in your next vet visit. I made a video about the things your vet doesn't want you to know, and the one would be that your cat or dog does not need any prescription diet. So before you get recommended a prescription diet, a prescription food, you must understand what you are putting into your dog or cat. For example, if you go to your veterinary services provider, you might get prescribed a tin or a bag of prescription dog food. If you examine the prescription dog food, you will find pretty horrible ingredients that are not going to aid or help your dog or cat's condition. Why? Well, let me tell you why. Cereals, meat and animal derivatives, oils and fats, animal fats, or sugar are not ingredients that are recommended for dogs or cats. Dogs and cats have no dietary requirement for carbohydrates. So any prescription diet that contains wheat, barley, oats, rice, meat and animal derivatives, or any other vague ingredient like that will not be aiding your dog or cat's condition. Now, this is a lot more egregious in cats because cats are obligate carnivores and they do not need any carbohydrates whatsoever. They don't produce something called hepatic glucokinase, so they have no ability to break down any carbohydrates. So feeding your cat sugar or cereals is actually detrimental to your cat's diet if you get a prescription food from the vet. And the second thing I want to say about prescription diets is that if your dog or cat has a condition, say pruritus, dermatitis, IBD, IBS, a sensitive stomach or an allergy, you must understand and must assess everything you are giving your dog. Cut out any inflammatory ingredients, wheat, barley, corn, soy, animal fats, meat and animal derivatives, sugars, for example, and make sure your dog does not get any of those ingredients, because those will be detrimental to your dog's health or your cat's health. So that's the first thing I will want to help you with when it comes to veterinary services and how you can actually save money on everything to do with your vet. The second thing I want to help you with is, if you have a dog or a cat and you are there regularly, try to read the ingredients for everything you give the dog. Again, we do not want to see any vague ingredients. We do not want to see 54 different ingredients and 54 different preservatives, for example. So make sure that everything you give your dog has clear labels and is, if possible, meat-based and doesn't contain any sugar or any sorbitol or any cereals. Another thing I want to say about veterinary practices is that some of them do push monthly flea and tick treatments. And let me tell you something, most dogs and cats these days are pets. They are actual pets and they live with us. They do not live outside and they are not working dogs or spend their life around the block in the case of cats, although some do. So if your dog is with you all the time, is there a need for your dog to be fleed and wormed every single month? My suggestion is no. So those tablets and those treatments will put unnecessary pressure in your dog's liver, because medicine and steroids, anything to do with tablets and medicine, is hard for your dog or cat to break down in the liver. The pancreas, the kidneys, those tend to suffer. So those are three tips when it comes to saving money for veterinary services. And let me tell you something about this particular article. The CMA is going to find absolutely nothing, because the price is the price and you either pay it or you don't pay it. There's not going to really be, in my opinion, any sort of amendment when it comes to pricing. It's a supply and demand issue, and there is a real shortage of good vets and vets overall in the UK. The boom we have experienced in the UK in the past few years with regards to pet ownership means that so many vets are overwhelmed and their phones don't stop ringing. So yeah, I don't think this article is going to go anywhere and this investigation is going to go anywhere, but that's my own opinion. I could be wrong, so let me know in the comments what you think. There's three things I want to do to save you money. And as we were just saying, the first one is always read the ingredients for everything you give your dog or cat. The second one, prescription diets could be a bit of a farce because of the inflammatory ingredients they contain. Cereals, meat and animal derivatives, animal fats, and sugar in some occasions. And the third one is monthly treatments cannot be the standard when it comes to dogs or cats. Most our pets are actual pets and they do not need that ongoing treatment. So let me know what you think. If you agree or disagree, that's absolutely fine. And I will see you in the next one. Thanks for watching.